congregation. But we're going to, just for a few moments, I don't want to take your time. We've got the table here for communion that we'll be sharing in a moment. But I just want to just think about some of those things that were in our reading. There's a person there called Mary. Mary. Transformation is the word I want you to fix your mind on. And if I go over to, let's see if this will work, yes, the next slide. Death to life. That is a transformation. Life usually goes to death, doesn't it? It doesn't go from death to life. But Jesus did. And he is the one that has transformed everything by what he has done. And we can see that in this lady called Mary. Mary, let's have a look at Mary, shall we? Here's a picture of her. There she is. I don't know whether any words came to your mind as that reading was being said, how you would feel that Mary felt when she was looking into the tomb. Any thoughts on that? She was weeping. How do you, when you weep, what does that mean you feel like inside?
Despair.
Despair? Devastated. Devastated, that's a good word. Devastated. Anything else?
Wretched.
Sorry?
Wretched.
Wretched. Frightened, worried, lost, bewildered. Those are just some of the words that I put down. Because from that crucifixion on the Friday, where her Saviour, her Master, was crucified. And she saw that happen. She saw the pain and the agony that he suffered. And she saw and knew where Jesus had been laid. And she wanted to do something. Just something. As small, as little as it could be for her Master. For her Saviour. What could she do? Could she bring some ointments? Could she do? But the stone, how would she roll that away? But when she gets there, the stone is gone. It's rolled away. The tomb is empty. Her response, though, is one of, where is the body? Where is Jesus' body? Who's got it? Somebody must have it. She wants to know from the angels where the body is. She didn't realize they're angels. Wow. If you met two angels walking down the street, how would you feel? Would you ignore them and think, oh, well, they're just angels? I see those every day. No, of course you wouldn't. No, Mary, she almost doesn't see them because her grief and her sadness is overwhelming. She is in complete darkness. She cannot see. Do you get the picture of Mary? Mary is in that position of heartbreak. Somebody comes up behind her and says, dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Jesus knows everything about Mary. Jesus understands. It's not a question in terms of, I don't know how you're feeling, Mary. I don't know why you're crying. Jesus knew. He knows all things. And he wanted a response from Mary. Mary's response was, well, I think you're the gardener. I don't know whether he looked like a gardener. She wasn't really thinking. Bless her. She was in a position where she just wanted to find the body. And there he was. He was actually standing right in front of her. There was the body. Alive. And well. How did Jesus get her to recognize him? How did Jesus get to recognize him? Anybody? Can you remember? He called her name, Mary. I think you all have names, don't you? Everybody's got a name. Jesus knew her name, you see, because she was special to Jesus. Not just Mary, but each of us is special to Jesus. He knows us by name. And so she responds to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. But it, in some ways it's more than that, because rabbi is the typical teacher. Rabboni has the meaning certainly of my master. It's like a headmaster. It's like the top teacher. He is the one. He is the rabbi. Jesus is the Lord of all. Mary is transformed from looking for a body in complete darkness and sadness to being full of light. She knows her master, her teacher, her leader, her saviour is there. And she follows. She will follow him for the rest of her life. What about you? What about me? How do we view Jesus? Because he does. He comes to us. He's not the gardener. He's not angels. He is the one. But he calls us by name. He's calling your name now. Can you hear? If you listen, if you focus your attention on him, you will hear him calling your name now. And he wants you to respond, as Mary did. Mary's response was, my master, my teacher, my Lord. She calls him Lord a little bit later when she says, I have seen the Lord. She is given this wonderful responsibility of going back and telling the disciples that Jesus is alive. He's alive. And he will appear to them a little bit later. But she is transformed from death to life because Jesus is alive. That is Mary. And that is the transformation he wants for us, from death to life. You see, all of us are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible tells us. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Our only hope is Jesus. He is the one who comes to us and offers us salvation. You've been very good, very patient. I hope you don't mind, but I just want to touch on another one, because that's okay. You know, some of us might be able to identify with Mary. But also some of us might be able to identify with Thomas. Comes a little bit later, and it says this in the reading, just after the one that Davina very kindly read for us. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came on that first evening after his resurrection. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, or put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you, shalom. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting. Stop disbelieving and believe. Thomas said to him, one of the most amazing transformations, my Lord and my God. Thomas sees Jesus as he really is, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, this is the purpose, that you may believe, that I may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of all, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. From death to life. Jesus is the one that gives us that. You see, Thomas had missed out. Thomas had not been there when Jesus appeared. He wasn't there that first Sunday evening. Where was he? We don't know. But Jesus knew. And Jesus comes to him 8 days later. And he singles in on, he focuses right in on Thomas. Thomas is the one that is on Jesus' mind. You see, Jesus knows us personally. He knows us individually. He knows when we rise. He knows when we sit down. He knows everything about us. He knew Thomas's need. He knew what Thomas had said. So when he calls Thomas, "Come here, Thomas, look. These are the nail prints. Put your finger here." He's echoing Thomas's own words. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus knew and responded. Thomas actually says a triple negative. "No, I don't, I won't believe." It was a no, never, never type of belief unless I see. Jesus responds in kind. He says, "Don't disbelieve," a double negative, which means a positive. So he's bringing Thomas from these triple negatives through to a positive. Thomas, believe. We know Thomas does believe because nobody could say what Thomas says without believing. "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Those words are quite amazing. When you think of who God is, "You shall have no other gods before me." Jesus comes first. Everything and everyone else comes second. Our spouses, our children, our loved ones. Jesus must come first in our lives. He is the one, because he's the only one that can transform us. He is the only one that can take us out of darkness and bring us into his most marvelous light. To believe, "My Lord and my God." I pray that everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest, will be able to declare that before Jesus. My Lord and my God. It's a personal, one-on-one. You see that with Mary and Jesus. You see that with Thomas and Jesus. My Lord and my God. You've been very patient with me this morning, and thank you for that. Those two accounts that John records are very personal accounts, and Jesus wants us to recognize that that personal relationship is what matters for each one of us. We cannot have our faith built on someone else. That faith is ours and ours alone, us and Jesus, before him. He stands before us, as he stood before Mary and Thomas. And he is here this morning because he is alive. His presence is amongst us this morning, as he promised. He is alive. And he calls out to each one of us, "Who do you say I am?" Are you going to declare with Thomas, "My Lord and my God"? Are you going to declare with Mary, "My Master, my everything"? Or are you going to put aside this opportunity of giving your heart and your life to him? That is what he wants. So may we also cry out, my Lord and my God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come before you. You stand before us. As it were, you stand at that door and you knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Oh, Lord, may we open our lives fully to you. May we give everything over to you. For you are everything to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to move to a time of communion now, around this table, the Last Supper. And in some ways, it's an unusual thing perhaps to do on Easter Sunday. But we do this because we are in a position of actually rejoicing in him. And we have a song before that. So we're going to stand and sing, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Invitation around this table is to all that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour to share in this special meal with him, for he is present this morning. After the day of Pentecost, this is what Peter was preaching to the people, and this is at the end. God has made this Jesus,